Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron live right now on the covered YouTube and X channels on our YouTube channel. Getting pretty close to 20K subscribers. If you are not subscribed, smash the button right down there. Okay, great big show planned for you guys today. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be by in a matter of seconds, discuss some of the storylines out of week two, get into some of his best bets here for week three of the NFL season. Major League Baseball regular season winding right down. We have five best bets tonight on the diamond. Discuss a little wild card race here as well. If you guys are interested in participating in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know who you like in week three of the NFL season. Let us know what you like on the diamond tonight. And before you place your bets tonight, head on over to BetMGM, the proud sponsor of this show. Make sure you check them out for all of your sports betting needs. Bourbon Burns, Wayne, in the live chat. The Cowboys suck. Indeed. Yes, they do. Not a good performance by them. They'll be looking to bounce back nicely versus the Ravens. Very important matchup for both teams in week three. Okay. Let's bring in our guy, professional sports bettor, Hitman. How are we making out, buddy?
Doing well. We're doing well. So week two for me personally. I said I should have just walked away after week one, but so week two, but we move on to week three.
I got crushed. I got to go to lighter volume here, I think, in weeks one and two. I need this data to develop, to see who's good where to be able to play strengths versus weaknesses properly. But, we're getting there. I think after week three, you get a pretty good feel for, hey, this team's really good in the red zone. This team's really bad on third down, things of that nature. So we are getting there. Okay, so let's discuss some of the things here out of week two, starting with the Monday Night Football game. Last night, let's give Kirk Cousins a little bit of credit here. Usually in that big spot, Monday Night Football on the road, he would typically flop, but he leads the Falcons to victory, I guess you could say, towards the end of the game. Maybe hand it to him a little bit, though. They got a nice little break. So my question to you is, how bad did the Eagles blow that one last night?
I can't believe they threw the ball on that third and three. And I don't care that Barkley dropped it. And it should have been a first down. I don't care what the result was, but the process of it, the fact that you have ran on the Falcons all night, whether it's been Jalen Hurts having one of the best rushing games he's had in a long time, or Saquon Barkley running all over them, you have ran on them all night. And a third and three for the Philadelphia Eagles is not a normal third and three for another team, because if you get fourth and one, it's a first down. It's like a 98% chance you're getting a first down with the tush push in that situation. So a third and three is essentially a third and two, and you have one of the best offensive lines in the league, one of the best running, powerful, short yardage quarterbacks, Saquon Barkley in the backfield. You could run off 40 seconds if you don't get it, kick the field goal with a minute left instead of a minute 40. I could see why some teams maybe throw the ball. If you're going up against a really good run defense and you're not as good of a running team, maybe you try to end it and get the first down there throwing it. But when you're the Eagles in that matchup, you got to run the ball in that situation.
Yeah, bad job by the coaching staff overall. Vic Fangio was supposed to be a big deal. His defense getting run all over. Nick Sirianni, I wouldn't say he was on the hot seat entering this season, but, we saw how the wheels fell off for them towards the end of last year. So they're going to have to put the pieces back together again versus the Saints here in week three. So all of a sudden, the NFC South looks like one of the more interesting divisions here in the NFL. The Saints off to a flying start. I think they've scored 91 points so far. The Bucs look pretty good too. No one's going to go too crazy about beating the Commanders there in week one, but nice win versus the Lions in Detroit on Sunday. And now the Falcons. It looked like maybe the season was going to get off to a really ugly start, but they were able to bounce back, pick up the win last night. So question to you, if you needed to put a bet on a team to win this division, who are you going with? We have a poll up in the live chat right now. Bucks and Saints neck and neck at plus 160. Falcons not far behind at plus 225. Let's not even discuss the Panthers. No reason to involve them. But the three teams there, who would you place the bet on to win the division?
You know, I'm not tailing it, but a sharp guy that I know sent me before this, he was like, what do you think about the Panthers 30-1 to make the playoffs? So I don't know. Maybe some people are thinking Carolina now with Andy Dalton. But I'd probably say anyone but Atlanta would be what I would say. And the reason I say that about the division is just that I think I might have spoke about this last week also, or maybe it was before the season, but I'm just worried about Kirk Cousins' health right now. Like, even I get that the last drive was impressive. There was no pass rush. He made the throws in the 2-minute drill and everything. But Cousins admitted to the broadcast, like, I am not 100% right now. And it's still, you could tell, just, but I don't want to be like one of those guys, like, watch the film, because I'm not a film expert, but I just think by watching the games, you could tell that he's just a little off right now. And I mean, does it get better over the length of the season? Maybe, but Atlanta, I just think from the start of the season was a little bit overvalued. So I would probably say Saints or Tampa. Maybe make me pick one. Maybe Tampa, just because, you know, I still have a tough time dismissing some of my priors with the Saints. Kubiak has done such a good job with this offense right now, considering that I thought their offensive line was going to be bottom five coming into the season. So credit to them, but I still have a little bit of hesitancy with the Saints just because of my priors before the year. So I'll go with Tampa.
Okay, so 2 weeks in now, a lot of surprises, some good, some bad. Some teams look like they might be on the verge of the wheels falling off here. The Jaguars have a really tough schedule coming up. They're off to an 0-2 start. We have the Rams. They're falling apart. A lot of injuries. Cooper Kupp's going to be out for a while now, it looks like. A couple surprises, though, too. Hey, yeah, let's give the Minnesota Vikings some credit. Have you changed your opinion about any teams or players that you had 2 weeks ago up until this point?
The Colts. I think that there's going to be a lot of growing pains with Anthony Richardson. He's just such a high variance player. Now he's going to have a lot of splash moments. But a lot of people were just crowning Anthony Richardson, saying like that he was going to be a good – maybe it's a lot of fantasy guys just because he was a top 6-7 fantasy quarterback coming into the year projection-wise. But – I feel like a lot of people are crowning him off of 2 games last year, and we just don't know with him. And the Colts are looking like they're going to have a really bad defense this year as well. So the Colts would maybe stick out. And, you know, it's funny because I think I mentioned this on the show before the year, the Vikings, I was super high on this season, and they've even surprised me a little bit with how, yeah, much better they've been. Like, I thought that Darnold was better than what people were making him out to be, but he's surpassed my expectations so far. So that would probably be two that stand out.
Yeah, I agree with the Colts and Anthony Richardson. He kind of reminds me of the big home runner hitter in baseball who has a 180 batting average, you know, like every 16 at bats, he's going to do something really special, but he's going to hurt you the rest of the way. So I'm planning the show this morning, and I'm thinking, what can I ask Hitman about? And I'm going through all the different markets at different sports books, and I come across the comeback player of the year market. Now, this was a hot one in betting communities last year. Damar Hamlin was a favorite to win it. Everyone, I think, what was he, even money, minus money?
Minus before the year, yeah.
Yeah, and then out of nowhere, Joe Flacco ends up coming through out of nowhere. A lot of bettors made out very well in this market last year, and I do think it is something that could heat up again here fairly soon. If you look at the odds right now, Aaron Rodgers is a plus 150 favorite. You have J.K. Dobbins, plus 450. Sam Darnold, off to a great start, plus 550. Kirk Cousins, no, I wouldn't go there. But you have guys like Kyler Murray, 10-1. Kyler Murray looks like he could return to a top 10 quarterback here within a couple of weeks if he keeps going. But I think Rodgers off to a pretty mediocre start, really. He's not playing bad, but he's not exactly stuffing the stat sheet. If you're placing a bet in this market, who do you think's a good guy to go in on right now? Because obviously this stuff is all about timing, right?
I would, yeah, it's a lot about timing, as you said. I would say Joe Burrow is a good guy to look at. Now, some people have bet Sam Darnold recently, and like you got to remember that the NFL came out before this year and they said that there was going to be a criteria now for comeback player of the year. It used to just be the voters voted for whatever. There was no written criteria, and they said that it's going to be mainly focused on players coming back from injury. So I wouldn't look towards Darnold, as he's a guy not coming back from injury. He's just coming back from being a bad player the last few years. So Joe Burrow obviously fits coming back from injury. And I think he's what now, like in the 9-1 range right now. And what, like, if you made me look at like rest of season outlook against guys like Aaron Rodgers, like I'm taking the Bengals over a lot of all these other quarterbacks that are listed in this market right now. And I know some people might say the J.K. Dobbins thing, and if he does sustain this level of play, it's a great story. But I just don't know. I just don't think Dobbins is sustaining this personally. And also, running back is one of the most injury-prone positions in the NFL. He has been one of the most injury-prone running backs at the most injury-prone position. Yeah. So I don't love the Dobbins play, and I think rest of season outlook, Joe Burrow is the best look. I do see Josh mention the Kyler thing. Kyler, yeah, but also, it's how eligible is Kyler? Just because like he did play the last 8 games of last season. So it's tough to put yourself in the mind of the voter. Like, how many voters are just going to say that Kyler is even eligible for this? So whereas Burrow missed the end of last season. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's got to be some. I agree. There's got to be some official criteria for it. Like, the award that drives me the most nuts is the NBA's most improved player. And typically, Tyrese Maxey won it this past year. He was really good the year before. Like, an award like that, the criteria should be, you know, this guy was playing like 10 minutes a game and averaging 2.3 points. And now he's a pretty good player. But yeah, I do agree. Joe Burrow, 20-1 to win MVP right now, by the way, behind Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, and Jalen Hurts. And it is a drop off. Hurts 12-1 to Burrow 20-1. So a little bit of a drop off there. I would argue, you know, the Bengals always start slow, and then they eventually do start turning it on. They did show us some signs of life here on Sunday in Kansas City. They didn't win, but, you know, they could get going, so that could be the right time.
I think they will get going. Like, they had the Chiefs beat, you know, and I think the Bengals will get. I like their rest of season outlook, especially when they get Higgins back.
Kansas City always finds a way to win these games, don't they? You always, they're always going to convert on fourth down in the fourth quarter in the final 5 minutes. You just know what's going to happen for them. It happens all the time. Craziness. Okay, so let's get into a couple of the marquee games here this week. Then we're going to get into your best bets. Let's start with, all of a sudden, it looks like a pretty good matchup here. Battle two undefeated teams. The Houston Texans are a 2.5-point favorite in Minnesota versus Darnold Dimes and the Vikings. What do you think of the matchup?
I like Houston in that matchup, and you know that I was the president of the Vikings are undervalued club before the season, but it's mostly just a play on how high I am on Houston. I think that Houston, you can make a strong case that right now with the current injuries to the 49ers and the Chiefs dealing with Hollywood Brown's probably out for the year, Pacheco's out right now. I think you can make a case, not that they're the best team, but just roster-wise, how complete they are, they might be the most complete roster in the NFL with a top 5-6 quarterback, a good running back, arguably the best trio, or I will say the best trio of wide receivers in the league, a good offensive line, 2 good pass rushers, a lockdown corner. I think that the Texans are a really good team right now, and I'm very high on them. So it's more of just a me looking towards Houston as opposed to me just being anti-Minnesota.
Yeah, what a quick turnaround for the Texans. And they needed a lot of things to break for them. Like, things were just an absolute disaster with all the Deshaun Watson stuff. That couldn't have worked out any better for them in the long run. And then what happened with the two quarterbacks at the top of that draft? That the Panthers taking Bryce Young and leaving them C.J. Stroud completely turned around their franchise here in a matter of a couple seasons. They were an absolute joke. Now they're one of the better teams here in the NFL. Okay, this looks like probably the most exciting game of the week here. Lions favored by 3. I saw some 2.5s out there, I believe. In Arizona taking on the Cardinals. Highest total of the week here. 52.5, a little bit of a sluggish start here for the Lions. It wasn't pretty on their home field. I typically profile them as a bit of an over team. They've gone under in both of the games so far this season. But Arizona absolutely flying last week. What do you think of the game here?
I haven't bet anything with it, but I would say that I would lean Detroit just because Detroit has such an advantage in the trenches, specifically this Detroit offensive line against this Arizona defensive line is one of the biggest mismatches that we're going to see this entire week. So I would lean towards Detroit on the bounce back effort, but haven't bet anything.
Okay, let's go to Sunday Night Football. We go down to Atlanta, Kansas City in town. They're favored by 3.5. I don't know. I think a lot of people look at this and just say, yeah, I bet the Chiefs. But they often get into these situations where, I don't know if you want to call them letdown spots, or they're just sleepwalking through the regular season at times. I don't know. I could see Atlanta keeping that one close. What do you think of the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that the book's kind of out on the Chiefs the past few years. It's been the Chiefs. You know, if you get them in that 3 or less range, they're usually going to win the game. But when they have to win by margin, they've been disappointing. I don't know if there's been many teams that have won more games but not covered the spread than the Chiefs in recent memory. So I would probably gun the head. I'm still getting my thoughts together on this game just because the lines did open up on this game. But gun the head, lean Atlanta. But at the same time, what did I just say about Kirk Cousins? I'm not sold that he's 100% healthy. And if you can get pressure on him, that is going to show. Now, the Steelers got pressure on him. He turned into a pumpkin that game. The Eagles, especially that last drive, what did you notice? They could not even get close to him. And he tore them apart. So, Chris Jones, I mean, I could see the Chiefs and Spagnuolo's schemes getting some pressure on him. Yeah, you know, it's a long way for me to say that I don't really got an opinion right now.
Yeah, primetime Kirk Cousins, 2 weeks in a row. Let's go. Okay, let's get into your best bets here. You have a spread, you have a teaser, and you have a season-long win total. That might surprise some people, but given the way things are going for this team, maybe not. Let's start with the spread here. You like the Broncos here, 7-point dog in Tampa Bay versus the Bucs. Why are you backing Bo Nix and the boys?
Well, I backed them last week and, you know, regretting taking some of these ugly teams, but I'm going to do it again. It's mostly just a fade against Tampa with the injuries they have right now. I mean, Vita Vea, Kalijah Kansi, Josh Hayes, and Antoine Winfield. Vita Vea and Antoine Winfield are the two best players for this Bucs defense. It's just a lot to overcome for this team. And it's finally a moment to breathe for Bo Nix and this Broncos offense after they did face the Steelers and the Seahawks defense. And, you know, some people have Denver as the 32nd ranked team, but I still have Carolina in that spot. The Broncos, unlike Carolina, their defense has actually at least been semi-formidable. I mean, to end last season from week 6 on, they finished 6th in EPA per play. They only allowed more than 21 points in 2 of those games. And they've at least been semi-formidable against Seattle and especially against Pittsburgh's offense last week. So it's an ugly one. I mean, the Broncos are my 31st rated team. So I can't say much positive stuff about Denver, but at the same time, there has to be a price to back any team theoretically in the league. And I just think that Tampa is a little bit expensive, especially coming off a game last week where, like, despite Tampa winning that game, Detroit had, I think, 7 opportunities.
Yeah,
in something crazy inside the red zone, first downs at like the 2, the 3, the 6, and they did not convert these into touchdowns, mostly field goals or turnover on downs. So I thought the Tampa's performance last week was just a little bit overvalued.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed there with the Lions offense last week. They weren't able to take advantage of all those injuries there for Tampa Bay, especially in the secondary. So hopefully Sean McVay and Sean Payton, excuse me, and Bo Nix will be able to put something together here. Okay, you know I love a good teaser. You know I love crossing some key numbers here. You're pairing up a dog and a favorite here. We got the Chargers taking them up to +8 versus the Steelers, and the Bengals taking them down to -2 on Monday Night Football against the Commanders. Why do you like this one?
I mean, we always talk about basic teaser strategy on this show, and I think that the Steelers-Chargers game is like the epitome of this is basic teaser strategy. With you're getting a total that is 35.5. You're getting, obviously, the points become more valuable in lower scoring games. And you have a Steelers team that to win by margin for the Steelers is, you're asking a lot to win by margin with a team that right now is averaging 136 passing yards per game, that has scored 31 points in two games. It's just not a team that's going to get margin often. And I lean towards the Chargers, to be honest, with the spread in this game, just straight up at the +2 or whatever. So to be able to just get those extra points, it's the classic Wong teaser. So I love the Chargers end of it. And the Bengals, we have them possibly getting T. Higgins back. It's a dream matchup for this offense against Washington's absolutely atrocious defense. Oof. And this is a Bengals offense that we just saw them go toe-to-toe with Kansas City in Kansas City. If they win that game, I don't know if we get -8 right now on the full game spread if they just don't commit that pass interference at the end. The Bengals are a team I was high on coming into the year. They had the typical week one dud, but the week two game in Kansas City kind of showed me what I think this team can be, and that they can meet the expectations they had before the season. So, you know, maybe it sounds a little square, but just have a tough time seeing Cincinnati going to 0-3. So really like this teaser, Joe.
Yeah, I've been hurt by these square teaser spots here through 2 weeks. Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals in week one. But this is the point of the season. It's usually the first 2 weeks. That's a book on the Bengals. The first 2 weeks, they stink. Then they start to turn it on here a little bit. So, yeah, I do think that their offense can get it together against the Commanders here. Two Monday Night Football games, by the way, this week. Okay, last but not least, you could still bet season win totals, even though the season's going on. You're fading the 49ers here. They're having a lot of bad luck with these injuries. We know Christian McCaffrey's out. Debo's going to be out a couple weeks now, too. We're about to find out what Brock Purdy's really made of. So the season win total over at BetMGM, 11.5. And you're taking the under on this one.
Yeah, you know, I don't get this line, to be honest, right now, because this is around what the line closed at for the 49ers before the season started. And what has happened to the 49ers since that point when the season started? They lost Christian McCaffrey. And then you say, well, all right, well, you lose McCaffrey. Well, Debo is the guy that he can play a similar role to that, where you're throwing him the screens, you're lining him up in the backfield, getting mismatches against linebackers and safeties. Well, now you're losing Debo Samuel for what could be a month. And McCaffrey, it looks like it could be a month and a half. And this is a team, remember, they're not going to rush these guys back. This is a team that has more aspirations than going 12-5 in the regular season. This is a team that has aspirations to win the Super Bowl. You also have injuries to Nick Bosa right now. Does he play this week? Maybe, maybe not. But this is a team that's just, they're getting a little bit thin. And you have the fact that also, like, since the start of the season, they're 1-1 right now. Like that, yeah. Like, I don't get how the number is just so close to what it was before the year. And yes, their schedule, as far as like their schedule goes, the Rams, massive downgrade. But Arizona and Seattle, two of the other teams in the division, they've been upgraded a lot, especially Arizona has been upgraded since last week. So I just thought that this number should have been downgraded more than what it was before the season. So give me San Fran under 11.5.
Yeah, it could be a tough spot, but it's better for these guys to be injured early than late, though, I suppose, if you're a 49ers fan. Okay, Hitman, we will leave it at that. Best of luck with all your bets here this weekend. Best of luck with all your handicapping, and we look forward to speaking to you again next Tuesday.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Yeah, 49ers. Looking like a pretty interesting situation, how that division will shake out. It looks like could be a lost year for the Los Angeles Rams with those two big injuries to their wide receivers and along the offensive line. Okay, let's talk some Major League Baseball. And let's bring in our resident Detroit Tigers fan. Look at that shirt he's wearing. Johnny Metz, the Magic Ass Man. Workshopping a couple different nicknames here. Johnny, how are we making out?
Good. Like, your Tigers are 1.5 games back of the AL wildcard. I literally can't believe it. A couple weeks ago, it was like 5.5, 4.5. And you're like, yeah, they're closing in, but it's probably too far of a gap for them to close. I mean, they're right there. It's getting pretty, I'm pretty excited. I'm a fan, obviously. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah. I think we were looking at it a couple weeks ago and we just said, the Tigers overachieving a bit here, but it looks like they're out of it. Nope. 1.5 games out. They're +475 to make the playoffs here, John. +475 to make the playoffs. I think that's a pretty good bet when you consider their last six games, all at home, versus the Rays and the Shit Sox coming to town. So if you're looking for a little plus money bet to make, there's a lot worse bets you could place one unit on. What do you think of that number, +475?
Yeah, it's funny. Maybe like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, my buddy who I have the season tickets with, he texted me, they're 10-1 to make the playoffs. And he's like, I think this is wrong. I'm going to bet it. So that was about a week and a half ago. Now they're +475. I was looking at FanGraphs before we came on here just to like cross-reference it. They have them about, I think, 19%, which is about +450. So it's pretty close there from like a betting standpoint. I did last, maybe like a week ago now, I was joking. I was like, maybe it's time to bet the Tigers to win the World Series. And it was more of a joke. And then someone was like, it's definitely worth 2 cups of coffee. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So I put, I think, like $11 at 300-1 on them to win the World Series, which won't happen. But when you're a fan, sometimes you got to place those bets when you're a fan, right?
Hey, so baseball, it's all about just getting into the dance. Look at the World Series matchup last year between the Diamondbacks and the Rangers, right? If you like the Tigers, 250-1. Right now to win the World Series. I don't know if I go that far. I absolutely would not bet on the Dodgers +330 to win the World Series. Phillies to get in, you know, they're kind of a battle-tested team. They disappointed last year in the NLCS, 5-1. The Astros, come on now, +950. This is a team that's always in the mix, always gets at least as far as the ALCS. I think they played in, what, 6-7 of those in a row now, something crazy. Like that. I don't know about the Orioles, man, 10-1. I think they're kind of trending in the wrong direction, maybe. But and the Yankees, man, the great regular seasons, but they get to the playoffs and it's like the weight of the world is just on their shoulders and they cannot come through. Judge has not been great in the playoffs. Don't even get me started about Giancarlo Stanton. Who knows? Maybe with Juan Soto, he can get it going for them. Gerrit Cole's had a couple stinkers for them in the playoffs. So the two favorites are the Dodgers and the Yankees. No interest whatsoever. But I don't know. Maybe we're due for it, like a big market World Series. It seems like it's been a while since we've had one of those. So maybe it is. I'm sure whoever has the broadcasting rights would love to see Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Yankees would be fantastic. I think maybe a little bit of exhaustion with the Houston Astros. Like I said, they are always kind of in the mix. Not a whole lot of interest there. But could you imagine if we get how pissed off, I don't know if it's Fox or whoever has the broadcast rights, if we get Guardians Brewers in the World Series.
I feel like the Tigers, because we were kind of kicking around, the Tigers are probably going to play the Astros. It kind of looked like it was lined up like that in the wild card round. Maybe, I don't know where the standings fall exact moment, but it kind of looked like that when I was looking. Because me and my buddy were like, we're taking flights. If the Tigers make the playoffs, we're going wherever they are going to be. I think the scariest part, like even if you're the Astros facing the Tigers there, I wouldn't want to play the Tigers because one, you have kids who don't know any better and are just going to go in there and play, but also like a 3-game series, Tarik Skubal, who wants to face him in a 3-game series? That's, when they had Jack Flaherty and Skubal, we always kind of kicked it around. Me and my friend were like, if they get into a 3-game series, like you're going game one Scoobal, game two Flaherty, and then like that's kind of a nightmare. Like their problem is the overall depth of the pitching rotation, right? But when you get into that short series, that's also what kind of gets me excited, right? Because you're like, we're gonna throw like the Cy Young winner for the game one, so kind of interesting. I would be nervous about betting the team that's facing them in the World Series.
Yeah, I'm pumped for baseball playoffs. I would argue that the best two-screen experience, like a lot of sports fans will have two TVs set up. You have the primetime NFL game on one, a baseball playoff game on the other. Absolutely fantastic on Monday, Thursday, and Sunday evenings. I cannot wait to be doing that here within a matter of weeks now. Feels good to be talking baseball playoffs. Okay, a winning week here for baseball bets last week. So we are going to hope to finish the regular season strong on the stretch run here. So three for me, two for John. He's got his regular duo of home run bets. I'm going to get us started here. Pitcher props for me and a team total. Bobby Miller on the bump here for the Dodgers. They better not be planning on sending this guy out during the playoffs unless they're trying to throw a game. He's been absolutely awful. We're going to go under 16 and a half outs. He's been getting absolutely shit canned. 12 earned runs allowed in his last two starts. This includes a 7 earned run performance versus the Angels, who are essentially a Triple-A team at this point. He's been really bad on the road this season. An 11.29 ERA in close to 28 innings of work. 11.39, excuse me. It's even worse than I said. This number is 16.5. He stayed under this number in 7 of his last 8 starts. And guys, how about a little bit of respect for the Miami Marlins? They rank 5th in OPS versus righties over the last month. A bunch of young players going at it for the Marlins, hoping that they can get good enough to eventually be traded to a contender, because that is how it works here with the Marlins. So Bobby Miller, under 16 and a half. And you have a bet for this game too, I believe, John.
Yeah, I was laughing because I saw Joe submit this, and I saw the line about him getting shit canned, because I'm going Jake Berger to hit a home run against Bobby Miller.
Let's go.
Also, what a great baseball name, Jake Berger. Like, it's hard not to bet on the guy if he's showing an edge, right? So Bobby Miller has given up 12 home runs in his last six starts. That's a massive number if you're looking for other pitchers. He's given up, I think, at least 2 home runs in 4 of those games. It's a righty versus righty matchup. Joe was just talking about how the Marlins, you know, right-handed hitters have been hitting. You know, Berger, Miller doesn't really have, the splits aren't, there's nothing that stands out from his splits. It's a 900 OPS for righties and lefties. And Berger also in his career, he's kind of more hit lefties a little harder, but this year he's hit righties harder. So I don't know, it's plus 500 when I was looking at it, and the projections came back. I think it was plus 322. So I'll hit the plus 500. He has 25 home runs on the season, 16 against right-handed pitchers. It just, I was looking for a Marlin, like you were saying. I was like, I got to take a Marlin. I looked at Connor Norby. I looked at Jake Berger. I ultimately decided to go with Jake Berger here. If he wins, okay, I might buy Big Mac, by the way, too.
Let's go Big Mac. What do you like better, a Big Mac or a Whopper?
I'm actually a big fan of the A&W, too. Monza Burger at the A&W is quite the... I was never a Burger King guy. I don't know. There's not really one around
Flame
my house.
Flame broil, baby. Yeah. Come on, man.
I'd have to go Big Mac if we're going versus there.
Wendy's fresh, never frozen. Not bad. 99-cent Frosties all summer. I cannot wait. Okay, let's keep on going here. I'm going to fade another starting pitcher this time, Mitchell Parker for the Washington Nationals. We're going to go under 16 and a half outs for him as well. He's been awful on the road here. He has a 15 ERA over his last 4 starts on the road for the season. He has a 6.25 ERA on the road. He's gone 1-6 against this number over his last 7 starts on the road. And he's a left-handed pitcher. Mets pretty good against left-handed pitching here. 5th in OPS over the last month. He allowed 5 earned runs against them earlier in the season. Fading Mitchell Parker. Let's go Mets. Let's get the Mets into the playoffs. So scrappy underdog, small market team. That's what they feel like, because they are the Yankees' little brother, essentially. But yeah, Mitchell Parker, fade him. One more home run bet for you, then a team total bet for me. What are we looking at?
So I'm going to the same game, going to the other side. You know, we're going to dunk on Bobby Miller. Let's dunk on the other starting pitcher, Darren. They call him D-Mac on the broadcast. I looked up how to say his name. I'm not going to try to butcher it. I'm sure they call him D-Mac for a reason. But he was more of a reliever. He started the year with the Guardians. Right-handed batters are hitting 357 with a 1.036 OPS against him. Teoscar Hernandez is a right-handed batter. I think the thing I really like about this bet is, you know, the Dodgers have a ton of left-handed power at the top. Freddie Freeman, Max Muncy, Shohei Ohtani. And D-Mac is a reliever. He only really pitches four innings. So they're going to have to turn it over to the bullpen. He's not going to go deep into the game. You would think when they go to face the top of that order, they'd bring in a lefty reliever. So we don't really give up our edge here, right? If he's giving up huge power numbers to right-handed batters, and then you flip Teoscar Hernandez and they bring in a lefty for like Ohtani, and then Teoscar gets to face a left-handed reliever. He hits lefties even harder than he hits righties. He has a 955 OPS against lefties. So I kind of like that. I feel like we kind of have an edge with Hernandez either way, depending on how the Marlins play this. Cause you just know this guy's not throwing eight innings, right? He's going to throw 3-4 and then it's going to go to the bullpen. So I like that. It was plus 450 at BetMGM. And then I think the projections were about plus 291. So you had a nice gap. And then I threw a boost token at BetMGM on top of that. So it boosted up to plus 675. So that's what I'm seeing with Hernandez hit home run.
Ooh, Bobby Newport Jr. in the chat saying, as my son reminds me, daily Frosty still dad, or dollar Frosty still dad. Yeah, it's a good deal, but that is how they get you. You'll go to Wendy's thinking, yeah, let's get a dollar Frosty. Oh, I'm a little hungry. Let's get the, before you end up spending $30. Do not let these fast food restaurants take advantage of you. Get your dollar Frosty and leave. Okay, last bet of the show here. Let's go Toronto Blue Jays. Go over their team total of 3.5, pretty modest number here, minus 115, taking on the dinky Texas Rangers. Not a good job of following up that World Series there last year. So, Nate, the great Eovaldi has not been so great, especially at home. A 5.23 ERA at home since the All-Star break. That's over five starts. And the only opponent that he faced in those five starts that didn't get to at least four runs was the Chicago Shit Sox. Blue Jays, really strong against right-handed pitching right now, third in OPS over the last 2 weeks. And to bring it all together, Blue Jays going to get at least nine full at-bats here, nine innings being the road team. Rangers bullpen has been horrible, 6.41 ERA, 27th in FIP over the last 2 weeks. Let's go, Blue Jays. Blue Jays hitting pretty well right now when there's absolutely nothing on the line. But if there's something on the line, the Blue Jays suddenly will transform into one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. Some changes are in store here in Toronto, hopefully. What a disaster season for these guys. No grit whatsoever. Okay, John. Let's recap these really quickly. I got Bobby Miller under 16.5 outs. He's been absolutely awful. Mitchell Parker under 16.5 outs as well. He's been really bad on the road. Blue Jays to go over that team total of 3.5. Your home run bets, Jake Berger. Down to Miami, hit a home run, plus 500. And Teoscar Hernandez to hit a home run, former Blue Jay. They could have used him this season, baby. Jose Ramirez's birthday is today. Ooh. To Waylon Nicely. He's on the yard. Yeah, that's a bet. Just the birthday bet, automatic. I don't know what the odds are on that. Worth taking a look at. Maybe total bases could be a smarter, more conservative approach, but something to look at. So what, John? We got to be, what, about a month away from NBA season starting up? You got to be pretty fired up for that as our resident NBA expert here.
35 days. Who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting, right? Okay, so John's going to be back with us tomorrow. Of course, we're going to be covering NFL with John Middlecoff. I will open the show tomorrow, Major League Baseball, and then John Mettler here, Big John Show. That's what we do every Wednesday. It is the John Show, covering a little bit of NBA. And as soon as training camps open up, our coverage for NBA features, we're going to have a lot more for it. So if you like NBA, this is the spot to be. The Covers YouTube channel. If you are not subscribed, make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. We're getting pretty close to 20K subscribers here, covering everything that is worth covering in the world of sports betting. Okay, let us leave it at that for today. There's a fly driving me nuts down here. I got to get the hell out of here. John, thank you for joining. Thank you to everybody for watching the show today. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!